Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear words from the Lord and encourage each other in prayer. Well, I wonder if you've put up your Christmas decorations yet. It's just, mid-November. But I've seen a few in our neighborhood so far put their decorations out, primarily because the past couple of days we've had warmer than normal weather. How about you? You know, I was curious and I posed that question on our First Things First Facebook page recently, and here are some of the responses. As of today, there are about 27 of you who responded, and 17 of you said, no, you didn't have your Christmas decorations up yet. Most of you said you wait until Thanksgiving to get started. Now, some of you who have begun, noted the warmer weather in the past couple weeks as a catalyst for getting outdoor things up, and that just makes good sense. Some of you included pictures. I loved Whitney's kids tree. That was so cute. I bet many of you have done that. And Cindy shared her tree, and she keeps it up year-round, but it's not decorated for Christmas until after Thanksgiving. And Shirley, who said her tree never came down from last year. She just plugged it in last week, and now she has Christmas. Good job, Shirley. You know, I've got a friend who lives in Florida who used to put up a tree in every room in her great big southern home, even the bathrooms. Every one of them had a different theme. She would start in October getting things decorated. Her home used to be part of the local Christmas parade of homes. It was glorious. And full disclosure, I keep my two trees decorated, but I cover them in sheets and then store them in our utility room. So technically they're decorated, but they're not out. We have to be really careful when we move them into place. We put them on sliders, those furniture sliders, and we carefully scoot them across the floor to put them in place. So on Thanksgiving Day, we'll do that while the turkey is roasting. It'll take us really just a couple minutes to put the trees in the right place, take off the sheets, fluff them up a little bit, stick on a star, and there you go. Getting our Christmas decorations up, it's a sign for all of us of our anticipation of Christmas. And as we discussed on last week's call, this time of anticipation is called the Advent season, meaning the time of waiting for a momentous arrival. And we know that momentous arrival is the arrival of Jesus, the one who had been so long hoped for. And hope is the first attribute of Jesus' coming that we will celebrate this week as we study Advent. The need for Jesus' first coming started in Genesis chapter 3 when sin first entered the world. Sin separated us from our perfect God, and only a perfect sacrifice could pay the price to cover for our sins. We read about that in Genesis chapter 3, and that's where God gave us the first glimpse of Jesus and the rescue mission that would begin. The rescue mission of the promised Savior carried on through the entire Old Testament, through God's promise to Abraham to make him the father of a great nation from whom the Savior would come, to Moses, who God appointed to lead his people out of slavery and preserve the nation, through all the generations of the kings and judges who led God's people through good times and bad to always preserve a remnant, and to the prophets like Isaiah, who gave God's people hope, even while they were in Babylonian captivity, that there would be a remnant preserved. For thousands of years, God's people waited, keeping their hope alive through the messengers of God, his prophets, who reminded them that God had not forgotten his promise to his people. Hope through floods and famines and wars and diseases and oppression and captivity and poverty and heartbreak, you name it, God's people experienced it. Yet God provided messengers of hope through it all, right up to the final Old Testament messenger, the prophet Malachi. You know, the name Malachi literally means my messenger. Well, Malachi's message came while God's people had returned to Jerusalem and under Nehemiah's leadership had rebuilt the temple and some of the walls. So God's people, however, even in good times, were prone to wander in their faith and hope in God. And so prophets like Malachi were used to call them back to God and remind them to keep hope alive. The last words of Malachi record these words from the Lord. In Malachi 4, starting in verse 4, the Lord says, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and the laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord to come. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. The Lord is reminding the people through Malachi that he will send a Savior to lift the curse of sin. And that Savior will be preceded by Elijah, which we learn later from Jesus to be John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist is a New Testament Elijah, just as the prophet Elijah was the Old Testament prophet who spoke of the coming Savior. So all these many, many generations of God's people have been waiting for the promised Messiah, the rescuer, to come. The prophets have reminded and encouraged God's people at just the right times when they needed it most, until Malachi finished speaking. And after Malachi, there were 400 years where God did not raise up a prophet to send a message of hope. Can you imagine going one day without a message of hope, let alone 400 years? Well, even though there were no messengers from God during this time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the people held on to God's promise that a rescuer was to come, and the promise he would be preceded by a great prophet in the likeness of Elijah. Hope. That is what carried the people through the years when God seemed silent. They trusted God was at work on their behalf, and so they remained hopeful as they waited for the rescuer, the Savior. This is how Elizabeth Heinemann describes it in her book, Advent. She writes, by the end of the Old Testament, the Jewish people had returned to Israel from Babylonian captivity. The temple had been rebuilt, and the law and the priesthood had been restored. However, spiritual apathy and indifference had set in. The Israelites oppressed others, broke their marriage covenants, and stopped tithing. The priests didn't fear the Lord and failed to teach the people the ways of God. Yet, even though God's people were unfaithful to him, he remained faithful to them. Yes, by the time we open our New Testaments to Matthew, many of God's people had fallen away from their faith. Yet there was a remnant who remembered God's faithfulness, sure through all the generations. A young couple named Mary and Joseph were just two of those who remained faithful to God, and God was indeed faithful to them. Hope. Even when we are in the midst of a pandemic, economic struggles, a divided nation politically, a racially challenged time, we have hope because God fulfilled his promise of Jesus in his first coming, and God will fulfill his promise in Jesus' second coming. Advent reminds us of the hope this season brings because of a baby in a manger, just as real to us today as it was 2,000 years ago. So as you prepare your heart for Christmas, let God's promise fill you with hope. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Telebible Study time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.